Clear. MMA Madhouse.com Live, episode 9,033. Shout out to our sponsors. Tank Ground, Global MMA Consultant, Copay and Gus Murray, Central Oregon Trike, Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Spoke Shop, 24NLB, Draco Sports, Triumph Fitness, Big E Nightclub, Craft Town World, Brawl Base, Quench Custom Mouth Guard, Razorware, and Intimidation Clothing.
Hey, what's up tonight, Carl?
How are you doing?
I can't complain, dude. Let's get my partner in crime. Let's get this show started.
Where the hell is he? There he is.
Well, I'm a poor man. I feel no pain. I struggled half of my life for going against.
Hockey.
What's up, fellas?
How's it going, dude?
Jacob.
Hello? What?
Hello?
Anybody there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. We're all here.
Labak, you still here with us?
I'm not with you physically, but I'm with you digitally.
You're with us spiritually? I know you're a big spiritual man.
I'm not really big on the spiritual thing. We praise Odin every now and then.
I was going to say, get the Odin going. Man, I tell you what, it's been an interesting week for the world of MMA out there. A lot of cards have been changing, especially up on the bigger levels. I'm hoping that there's a card in, Tulsa, Oklahoma. September 21st, the Extreme Fight Night 9. I hope that card doesn't change. And got to ask you, Lepaki, Anthony Rumble Johnson's taking on Jake Rochoff. Do you think Anthony will make weight?
That's at 205, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll make. He should be able to make 205. He's done it already one time. Because his fight with Dave Roberts was at 185. But
yeah,
he didn't have any problem with the cut at the last Titan SC card.
I'm curious to see how he's going to perform. You know, Jake's, they both have similar records. They're both 12-4, but Jake's been on a pretty good tear lately. A lot of people out there who don't follow some of the smaller leagues like me and you do, I know he's been tearing up some smaller leagues, but he's been fighting some top competition in that area, so... It's going to be interesting to see him step up. You know, we all know Anthony, and he's come from a great gym, and he's consistently a pretty good fight every time he shows up. So I'm curious, you know, I'm looking forward to that card this weekend. There's a few others running around out there as well.
I'm curious to see what Titan's going to do after canceling their event this weekend.
You know, I figured I'd let you bring that up. I know you dropped that to me the other day. You got any insight on why they ended up closing the doors for that day?
Supposedly the weather is an issue because it's going to be raining. This is what Chris Gregory told me last night because he has better information on this than I do, but that they expect rain in St. Louis this weekend and the event was to be outdoors. Therefore, they're going to postpone the event.
Well, you know,
I'm kind of curious because my question is the weather just a convenient excuse? Because here over the last like 3 or 4 weeks, we've seen word where Titan has signed fighters, and then like 3 days later, we get confirmation that they didn't sign the fighter and that the fighter is signed elsewhere. We saw that with Miguel Torres was actually announced to fight for Titan in November. 3 days later, he was on the World Series of Fighting card. Tyrone Spong, he had signed a fight with Titan, apparently, 3 days later, he was now with World Series of Fighting. So I'm kind of curious to see what the deal is there exactly, if there's more to the story than the weather on why they're not having an event, or if it is just actually the weather.
Well, you know, speaking of events that have been outdoors, you know, there's an event going on this weekend up in Spokane, Washington, Spike Excite Fight. It's being put on by a great group of guys who do some wonderful, wonderful events there. And the super cool thing about this event, everybody in the Pac Northwest, this is free to the public. This is going to be a completely free MMA event. You're going to be able to go down there and watch the fights free. There's no charge. It's completely free. They're going to have an after party that's for the UFC. Now, I believe when you get into that, alcohol and the food and stuff in there is going to be something you have to buy. But you guys could definitely, if you're anywhere near Spokane, even an hour or so away, you can definitely run out there and watch some great fights before the Zuffa events.
The great Zuffa.
Yeah, and, you know, also for everybody up in Michigan, do not miss Friday night. We got a kickboxing and MMA challenge Friday night, 13 is what it's called. It's going to be in Waterford, Michigan. It's going to be team versus team. It's going to be a pretty interesting deal. I believe, Friday also, the Zachary White fundraiser. Just talk about this super quick. This is an event online. You're going to have to go to Zachary White fundraiser. Just type it in the search bar. It's an online fundraiser to help this kid get gear and gym costs, and I think it's really cool that a group of people have come together, including Elite MMA Clothing. They're going to be donating the shirts for sale. I believe the shirts, all shirts, period, men and women, will be 25. But it's going to go towards helping this kid and get his gym costs and everything. You guys can go to eliteclothing@gmail.com, or you can text any questions you have to 815-326-5400. So I think that was pretty cool, you know, that Elite MMA Clothing is stepping up to do that. But, yeah, there's some great fights going on this weekend. I know we have Combat Night, I think it's 6, down in Jacksonville. That's going on. The TWC Pro Series, up close and personal, in Lansing, Michigan, will also be Saturday. God, I'm trying to think. There's a few other fights we were talking about earlier this week, isn't there?
It's kind of a slower weekend with Zuffa this weekend. I think sometimes a lot of local MMA kind of tend to reel it back in a little bit.
Shoot a box.
So
that's what we were talking about.
So they don't have
earlier
to try and battle the monster, you know?
The monster wants to run everything over. Yeah, well, for the people in Oregon, they obviously want to see some live action because we got the Valhalla Kickboxer at the Bossa Nova Ballroom in Portland on Saturday as well. And then don't forget Friday night, Shooto, Brazil, man. I'm super excited to see what they put on the next card. You know, it's gonna be really cool.
I wonder if they're going to have Tyson back down there.
That's funny. You know what is coming up this weekend as well up in Washington, Arlington, which I'm very bummed. Amy Codwell, a Madhouse-sponsored fighter, is not going to be fighting on this card anymore, but the A-Town Throwdown 5, I know you can find Clinch Custom mouth guards there and hit them up for, you know, some mouth guards. You got the best in the business.
That is true. And not this weekend, but next weekend, Pacific Northwest fighter Tim Welch will be going to battle there at Bellator against Mikhail Tsarov.
That's a great fight. I know you did a really good interview, and everybody out there, get on to madhouse.com, go under Lapaki. You'll see it at Lapaki under staff. Read the article he wrote, man. It was a really wonderful article. This guy's legit, man. He's seriously about to make a for real run at a solid, solid upper echelon company, and hopefully we'll see him here in a little bit being the title mix of things.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, you know, I think that's his first round match in the, what am I talking about? I got too many things going on here.
Well, look, you know, we're waiting for Cage Sports, Brian Hallquist, to join us because we're going to talk about the new Cage Sport card coming up. And for everybody out there, man, you guys, once again, Madhouse has the press release up there with the super stacked card that he's been putting on. So while we're waiting for him, I'm going to bring on their champion, Julian Arosa. Hey, how you doing, Julian?
Oh, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Man, I can't complain. I know you're on this card coming up. You're going to be fighting Jason Gutcheck Gibles. And for everybody out there, this is the gentleman that has it Clinch is backing in the tattoo bet versus Clinch versus Madhouse. Madhouse being in Oregon and being here in the Central Oregon area, we're going to back Jason Gutcheck Gibles on this fight with you. And the winner's going to get the loser's the loser's going to get the winner's logo tattooed on him. Does that put any extra pressure on you for this fight?
you know, it does. It does make it a lot more interesting, but definitely no pressure. You know, that's kind of a side bet. You know, if it had anything to do with me getting a tattoo, then it might add a little bit of pressure. But you know. No pressure added for me, you know, it's just kind of a fun thing for you guys, like a little side bet, which is cool, you know. It does make it more interesting and kind of gives it a little more excitement for the fight, but no, not on my end. No added pressure for me.
How do you feel about getting in there with a ground guy? I know that you like the ground and you're very successful there.
Well, the thing about it is it's funny because I actually like to stand up more than anything. I just end up going to the ground. I've been more successful on the ground with my submission. So, you know, actually this fight, I'm probably going to try to keep it standing up because Jason is more of a ground guy. So, but I always end up going against some better wrestlers than myself. So I always end up having to use my ground game. But my stand-up's usually my strong point. So I plan on keeping it standing and using my striking because I know he is he's definitely a good ground specialist. So,
and for everybody out there, go ahead, Lopaki.
Hey, Julian, how good of a fight is this? Because Jason's one of the top 145, 155 guys in Oregon, and yourself being one of the top guys up in Washington, this is really going to be a good fight to put our region on the market as well as both of you guys. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it's definitely getting both of our names out there even further. You know, we're both just trying to climb the ladder and make it as far and you know, put together good wins with good opponents. So, you know, I know it's been a little while since he's been in the cage, and I've been kind of itching to fight too. So I know both of us are going to be in there. We're both hungry to fight, so it's going to be a fun fight for both of us. You know. I definitely look forward to, because usually at 45, I'm kind of the bigger, lankier guy, but he's about the same size as I am. I mean, we're both close to 6 foot tall, real lanky guys, so fighting him at 55 will be fun just to, work my range with my stand-up and really put it to good use, so, yeah.
Julian, this is Skip. For everybody out there, this is not a title fight, correct?
Yeah, it's not a title fight. This is at 55 for us.
Now, your next fight, which will hopefully be a title fight and a defense of it, there's a lot of people asking about who that's going to be. Rumor has it that you would like to face another top contender in your state, Lee Morrison, who we also have on the line with us tonight. So I want to bring him in and let's talk about this and see what you guys both think about possibly down the road facing each other for a title fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Lee, welcome to the show, brother.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Okay, Lee, Julian, you guys both know how prestigious that title is at Cage Sport. And right now, Julian, it's your title. You're not defending it this time. This is just a regular fight, more for staying in shape and everything than anything. Down the road, do you want to defend your title against Lee Morrison?
Yeah, you know, this is a fight that's been kind of in the mix for a while now, and, you know, he is one of the top dudes. You know, I was supposed to eventually fight Daniel Swain at one point, but, you know, Lee Morrison, as you all know, beat Daniel Swain. So, you know, there's no reason for me to mess around with him. I just need, you know, just to Lee's the next dude. Between me and Lee, we're the two top 45ers in the Northwest right now, so it's definitely going to be a good show for everybody. We're going to draw lots of crowds. You know, we have a lot of fans, so I feel like that, as being a main event, would just draw a huge crowd and really hype up the Cage Four show even more. So I look forward to fighting him if, you know, HoldQuest will put that on for us on the December show.
Lee, what do you think about that, brother?
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, from what I know, what I've heard, it is out of Julian's hands. I know he wants to make it happen just as bad as I do, and then some. You know, it's his belt. He needs to defend it, and he totally knows and understands that. And obviously, he just admitted to me being the next you know, up and comer to contest or fight for that belt. And like I said, I know from what I've heard that it's out of his hands. I know he wants to make it happen. So that's why I was really hoping to possibly pick Hallquist's brain tonight and ask him some questions and see if we could solidify this fight. Because it sounds like, from what I'm hearing, he's the main man that's got to go through. So as far as on Julian's side, man, I appreciate you taking, you know, or accepting the fight. And sooner or later, it's going to happen, man. It just has to go through Rich, apparently, and Hallquist. And you might know a little more than that on that note than I do. But I'm just, you know, trying to get some answers as to when, man, because I'm stoked. I'm excited. I'm at that point in my career now, you know, kind of like you, where I want to face the best dudes out there, the best guys around. And, you know, you're definitely sort of say on my hit list, man, and I want to do it. So, you know, hopefully sooner than later we can. And I got it in my mind for December 1st, so... You know, like I said, I was hoping Paul Chris was going to be on the line tonight, but I guess not. So.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was hoping for, too. I do want this fight to happen, and it's just, you know, it's kind of crappy how it's, you know, it's kind of been back and forth with this last card and whatever. So, you know, I hope the December 1st card, we can get on that show. And really, I feel like me and Lee would just have the, you know, we just make it way more exciting for everybody. You know, there's so many people that are backing Lee up and so many people that are backing me up that it would just, you know, it would just, it'd make it so much more exciting for all the viewers, especially if it's going to be on TV some more, you know.
What do you guys think is the big holdup on booking this fight?
Well, my understanding was just they were trying to, you know, just boost the ratings for the fight, so they were trying to get from people from bigger cities or whatever and bigger towns for this coming fight for the whole Root Sport thing, you know. And I'm from Yakima, so I guess that doesn't like fall on the TV ratings or something. So I don't know. That's pretty much the knowledge I know about it. I really don't know the particulars about it. You know, there could be so many different reasons why, but you know, I'm just hoping we can get it going for at least the December show. So.
Yeah, and I don't know the inner workings of it either, man. I mean, that's not my side of it. Mine's just to, you know, show up, keep winning, and take care of business. But, I mean, as far as the TV ratings, I don't see what could possibly be better. Let's get serious right now. You know what I mean? Two of the top fighters out there, everybody wants to see it happen around. You know, everybody's talking about it. So it's like, what? I don't understand what's the holdup. Maybe they have it in mind for December 1st, and, you know, we're just on the back burner and we don't get informed on it. I don't know. But, yeah, definite confirmation on this one would be nice. So, you know, hopefully sooner than later. Like I said, I was hoping for some answers tonight, but, you know, it doesn't always work out the way you plan it to. So, hopefully,
yeah,
man, hopefully some answers sooner than later.
And for everybody out there, we think Brian got tied up. We just can't get a hold of him right this second. We are working on it still before our time runs out. For both of you gentlemen, and I'll start with Lee, knowing that he's going to be fighting Jason Chuck Geibels out of Desert Dogs MMA, are you going to be invested in watching that fight?
Yeah, kind of funny. Any which way, I was heading down there the 29th. I didn't even know he'd be fighting. It's actually my girlfriend's birthday, and she's got her little week vacation plan, and her best friend just had her baby yesterday. So, any which way, we're heading down there for a week vacation, sort of say. And if I can go watch cage fights during that vacation, all the better, you know what I mean? So, as far as the fight itself, I don't know much about the other guy. I know Julian's a stud. I'm guessing he's going to win. My fingers crossed. Hopefully you do, bud. But, I'm headed down there to watch, just hang out. Kind of, it's kind of nice for me right now, man. I've had 5 fights in the last 4 months, which is ridiculous. So I'm going to take a little time off, heal up. As far as that fight itself, not so much. Pretty confident Julian will win. I'm just trying to live it up, man. I'm trying to make my way down there, watch the fights, hang out, enjoy myself, and get ready for some upcoming fights of my own, and hopefully Julian's one of them. So.
Now, did Julian, same for you, were you invested in his fight up at Battle for the Border? Did you make sure you caught the results of that?
I didn't really like get it. I didn't see it. I have watched a couple of his fights, the ones I could watch. But definitely. I knew he's been fighting. He's been fighting all over the place. A bunch of fights. So I have been kind of, you know, just seeing if he had won or lost any of those fights. He's been fighting ridiculous. You know, that's how I wish I could be. Sometimes just want to go out and just, you know, I itch to fight all the time. It's been like 4 months since I fought. So just to get out there is what I, you know, I just want to fight, you know, I'm the same kind of person. I don't care when or where or how, you know, I just want to fight. So I just want to make it work out and make it happen. I have been, you know, obviously I've been kind of keeping my eyes and ears open about seeing if he's been winning his fights and stuff. So I have.
No. Julian, on a different note, man, are you still skateboarding, bro?
Huh?
Are you still skateboarding?
Yeah, I do skateboard quite a bit still. I mean, obviously my coach tries to keep me calm down on my extracurricular activities just to make sure I don't get injured. But that's just kind of how I am. I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie. I like to skateboard, snowboard. That's kind of where I came from, was just skateboarding all the time and getting into, like, brawls at the skate park and stuff. And finally realized, you can't get in fights at the skate park and not get in trouble. So I started fighting, and I've been skateboarding for years and years and years. But definitely, I try to keep it toned down a little bit. You know, my coach does get kind of antsy about me skating and maybe hurt myself. So I try to keep my body in top shape for fighting. So, and fighting is my number one priority right now. But definitely my pastimes, I still keep it up a little bit on the my recreational stuff. But definitely I got to keep my body 100% for fighting.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. But I did see you do some pretty wicked stuff on a skateboard, and I was kind of like, man, that kind of would make sense, you know? You've got really good body coordination for that, and that probably helps when you're in the cage a lot.
Yeah.
Lee, this is Skip. Let me ask you, what was more rewarding, winning that fight at the Battle for the Border or finding out the next day that you wanted to support the local MMA t-shirt contest for Madhouse?
You know, winning fights is priority, so that's definitely, you know, I mean, winning fights, that's what it's all about. If I start losing fights, I'm a nobody, or soon to be a nobody, so I got to keep winning. But MMA Madhouse, you guys are awesome. I mean, if I can edge you right in there for a close second, no offense, heck yeah, by all means, you guys have been nothing but awesome. It was cool for me to go up there and meet a couple of your members. You guys, they were nothing but supportive and definitely entertaining, that's for sure. Still waiting on that t-shirt. Hopefully I get it. I'll support it at the gym.
It got mailed on today, so you should have it in another day or two.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, the fight, it was pretty crazy. I've never walked in front of thousands of people and been booed, you know what I mean? That was definitely crazy for me. And then, you know, it was just blatant boos top their lungs, like as a home crowd kid. So that was surprisingly – I actually got a kick out of it, tell you the truth. I don't know why. I guess I just did. But anyhow, and then after the victory when they were all rooting for me, that was pretty cool too. So let's just say for the record, I got you guys tied right at first. It's just right there any which way. So.
Yeah,
did you see any beards, Lee, that rivaled yours in Canada?
No, mine was the front runner on that note.
And now in most of your fights, you do try to keep your shorts on, right?
they came off, man, and it's funny because you guys got some good pictures of that one, but anyhow, I heard a little bit about that afterwards, and during the fight, I was in a good position, and I wasn't giving it up for my pants. I was going to let them do whatever. I would have stepped out of them if I had to keep position, so
Julian, that might be something that you want to keep an eye out for is when Lee's shorts start to come off. I think he'll keep fighting. I'm not sure if he'll stop to tie them.
I got underwear on. If those come off, it'd be a different story. But up to that point, man, I'm throwing up everything I got. So.
Well, Lee and Julian, I appreciate both you guys taking the time to try to catch up with us and Brian Hallquist from Cage Sport to try to get Julian's next title defense to be against you in December. Everybody out there is listening tonight. You guys are all good fans. You guys love the sport. Go out this weekend. Support Cage Sport 21 Saturday, September 29th at the Emerald Queen Casino at the I-5 showroom. Doors open at 6. Fights will start at 7. Everybody knows this is a great organization. You see these guys, the top guys in the Pacific Northwest. They want to prove their stuff against the best at Cage Sports. So we're hoping next time that you guys come on with Brian and we can take like a whole hour and talk about this. We're going to have to get to our next guest in a minute, but I'm going to start with Julian since you're the champ. I'd like you to take a run, give a shout-out to any sponsors, Facebook, Twitter, anything like that. Go for it, brother.
Yeah, I want to thank, first of all, my coach, Rich Guerin, Team Yak MMA, just my family and friends, everybody supports me through my fighting and everything else. And Clench Mouth Guards for hooking me up with Mouth Guards and having my back on this next fight with the bet. And just everybody who, all my family and friends who support me. Thank you.
Julian, we'll talk to you soon. Lee, why don't you go ahead and take a run at it too?
Okay, kind of the same rundown. I got my family and friends on the list, my girlfriend for being awesome, supportive. On all notes, get home late from the gym, and she usually has a dinner cooked with a smile on her face, so that's pretty impressive on her part. So give a shout-out to my wonderful girlfriend, Sarah, and my fight team, Cannibal Fight Team in Okanagan, Washington. We got a BJJ over in Spokane and AKA in Coeur d'Alene. Those are my top gyms, man. They're super supportive. The guys in there are awesome. Any time I need a fight camp, man, they're all there for me. So that's super awesome. On the sponsorship side of things, of course, Clench Custom Mouth Guards, the best mouth guards out there. Jeff, Stormy, thank you guys. You guys have been nothing but awesome. We got local sponsors back home. I got Community Net. I got Heaven's Touch Massage and Body Works, Valley Chiropractic. I have Absolute Fight Factory, and another big one that I have is Cooley Dam Ice. So all you guys are awesome, man. I really appreciate the support. You guys have been nothing but 110% behind me the whole way. So I love you guys for that. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for coming on tonight. And you two gentlemen, acting like the professionals that you are, talking to each other, realizing you guys are both top and you guys want to test yourselves against each other. And we and all the other fans out there hope that December 1st you guys get to bang it out. Lee, I really appreciate both you and Julian joining us tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having us, man. It's awesome. Julian, good luck in your fight, man. I'm sure I'll see you down there. Hopefully we can meet up with Hallquist or something and sit down and solidify this for the first. So, good luck, man.
And
appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Lee, I'll see you on the 29th at K-Sport, brother.
For sure. I'll be there.
And for those fans who can't make it, Roots Sports up here in the Pac Northwest should be broadcasting it. Lepaki, I believe you might know a little bit more about that. Do you?
No, actually, I'm kind of hoping to hear word from Brian. All I really know about it is they just signed the deal. This is going to be their first run on that. They've got Danny Bonaducci, which I'm kind of confused about. Misha Tate, which I definitely understand. She's a crowd favorite, you know, a local girl there from the Yakima area. And then the former UFC announcer, Jeff Osborne.
Yes.
So that's really all I can tell you about it right now.
Well, for everybody out there, let's get out there and support some local MMA. We're going to jump borders now, guys. We're going to go up north to Carl's Land and talk to probably what most consider the guy who brought MMA to Canada, the longest-running promotion in Canada. Lee Meehan, how are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks
for joining us, Lee.
Good. How you doing?
Oh, you've got a great card coming up this early October, correct? 46, I believe.
Yeah, Rumble in the Cage 46.
You've taken off the fighter hat again and put back on the promoter hat. Are you happy about that?
Oh, yeah, always. It's just, you know, I love coaching, love training the guys. I like to get in there and scrap every once in a while for my own, you know, humbling and knowledge thirst and all that stuff. But promoting's fun. And the biggest thing for me is giving the guys an opportunity to fight where they may not get it. And it's, you know, entertainment for the family and friends of everybody that's fighting, and they get to see a great show. So just a lot of work for no money, but it's a lot of fun to see the guys and how they deal with the pressure and fighting at home and everything. So to me, it's very important that for my guys go through that experience of fighting on a show, especially their own at home, because it kind of hardens them for, you know, down the road when they get to the higher levels and, the, you know, the pressure of the fight game. So
let me ask you, as the longest running promotion in Canada and rivaling some of the longest in the United States, what has made you so successful?
I ask that all the time because I go to a lot of shows and I see how many things are done wrong, and I shake my head because to me it's pretty simple. You know, you match up some good fights, even fights, so guys get a good experience, win or lose, they get a tough fight, and that makes it entertaining for the fans. You start the show on time, you make it run smooth, so it's not this 6-hour, you know, boring thing. You have the stuff, again, as a fighter, I know what I want when I go to a show, so I make sure I have water in the back for the fighters. There's the mats to warm up on. It's all those things. As a fighter, I know how I want to be treated, so I try and treat the other fighters that way. And they, you know, guys love coming here to fight for that reason, I think, because we try and take care of them. The out-of-town guys know that even though they're fighting one of my fighters, they know it's a fair fight. They know they can win. It's not mismatched in, you know, my guy's favor. And, you know, I think that's a big part of it. So I don't know why these other guys make mistakes. I always give them the benefit of the doubt that, well, they're new, but after they've done 10 shows and they're still starting an hour late and stuff, then I just shake my head and question, you know, do they know what they're doing? So,
well, now this is just, you know, a personal, because I'm such a freaking fan about this sport. Seeing as you're a fighter who's had such a great reputation promoting and fighting over the years, what's the single biggest difference in promotion today from when the first time you did it? And fighting from the first time you did it to this last fight?
Well, obviously the knowledge of the fans is greater. The knowledge of the fighters is a much higher level. I remember my first fight, you know, I fought, and after the guy said, oh, why didn't you do an elbow knee escape? And I said, I don't even know what that is. You know, I knew how to bridge. That was it, you know, and we're in there fighting. So now I got, you know, so the level of competition is much higher. The education of the fans, you know, UFC is, you know, educated some people. It's also tainted people and on their expectations or what it is. But, you know, in some ways it's very similar. I don't know. I guess it's just one of those things, being the old school guy, you built camaraderie with the other fighters and coaches. And some of that's not as easy to get anymore because there's so many shows. Guys are fighting all over. You don't have that working reputation with teams and gyms like it used to be when there was only a few shows to fight on. So I think that might be some of the difference. But overall, it's, but you're fighting, right? So bite down on your mouth teeth and swing hard. So,
do you, being somebody who does take care of the kids coming up in this sport, do you find it much more exciting that these kids today at 9, 10, 12, 14 are having – the abilities and the level of learning that they have that 10 years ago guys at 30 were just getting?
Yeah, it's, you know, again, it's the transformation of the sport. And I'm always, people say, oh, there's so many shows on. I didn't watch this one, that one. I try and watch every show I can get my eyes on. And it's the excitement of seeing someone do something new, seeing the caliber of guys and their overall balance in their game. You know, they're not just wrestlers or just kickboxers. You know, they've got a good base and everything, and that's exciting. And as a coach, to keep learning new things and always thinking outside the box of, you know, what else can we do to make it well, you know, make a guy well-rounded. And that comes back to being a martial artist, you know, and not just an MMA fighter, but just how do we do things to enhance our lives, and how do I take these kids and groom them to be great martial artists and great citizens and use the sport of MMA to transcend that. And that's what we try and, you know, we try and do here at the Canadian Martial Arts Center. And what I try and get people to realize when they come to an event, you know, Rumble in the Cage, that there's sportsmanship. Where I give my guys a speech about how they're going to act after their fight, win or lose. And one, that's going to help them when they, you know, got in the workforce and they have a problem with their boss. How do you deal with stuff rationally? Even though you physically know how to fight, that's not the way to deal with it. And how you respect the person after you fight, after they beat you up or after you win. And how do you, you know, win with humility? And those things, and the fans see that, and they appreciate that, that, you know, how our team represents ourselves, and how the other town fighters now realize, oh, no, that's, it's okay to be nice to the guy after and at weigh-ins. You don't have to mad dog a guy just because you're going to fight him. And I think, you know, that's a big part of it for us.
Lee, this is Lil Pocky. I got a question because I was kind of, it was awesome to see you on the MFC 34 card, and you got kind of called out, you got called off the couch. I kind of want to talk to you about Smialino Lama. I've heard a lot of really good things, and your opinion is one that I respect a lot. And I'm kind of curious to know what you think about Lee, or about Smialino, and where you see him maybe going in the future.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I knew him from, because he fought here on my show as an amateur when he was, you know, light. So I remembered his name and I remembered him, and I'd see him at fights and shows, and we'd say hi to each other and stuff. So I actually put some other names in for last minute, and they said, "Oh, we don't have it. We got this fight here, heavyweight." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm not in shape to fight, but you know what? I don't like shows getting stuck and guys that train for fights and they don't get to fight. So I'll take fights like that." And so I knew a little bit about him. And then after fighting him, you know, again, I threw him, I landed on, I broke my ribs, and then everything kind of went south for me there after the body shut down. But I've seen his game, and I've seen some of his fights before. After we fought, I watched some of those tapes of his old fights. A few of them, and I like what he does. I think he's got a huge potential because he's so relaxed, and you can tell he loves to fight. And that's you know, you can't train that into guys very well. They have to, you know, you're a fighter and you learn the technical, or you learn the technical and try and become a fighter. And it's a lot easier to take a fighter and teach him the technical. And he has that in him. I can see it. And he's so relaxed, and he's got great head movement. And, you know, again, as he trains and develops more, he's going to be more well-rounded in all the areas. And I think he's going to be a force because he's tough, you know, and I like him. I actually would like to get him on my show and have him fight someone because he's entertaining. And that's a big part of it, too. He's got that swagger, and he's, you know, we were joking around with each other before the fight, and we're, you know, having fun fighting and great time after. So I like him a lot.
Now, Lee, I'm kind of curious because you've been in the fight game for so long that you mentioned a great point right here where you have fighters and you can teach them the technique. What I view in the sport is happening right now is that we're seeing a lot less fighters and a lot more technique, and I think that's really having a detriment on the sport right now where we're having a lot of fights that are going to decision where guys are afraid to get in there and bang. What do you think is going on currently in the sport? Do you agree with kind of with me on where I see it's headed currently?
Yeah, I think you have athletic people who are into sport and they see that, you know, and they decide to get into it, whether it was rec volleyball or whatever they see fighting as a sport, and they do it. And that's great. And again, they're technical, but they don't have that killer instinct in them. I think that's important to have. I think you can develop that by coaching and with the right training partners. But, you know, the guys who have it, got it, you know, and you can see it in them. I think the detriment to the sport is, you know, kind of like what Dana White says, there's certain gyms that, you know, coaches that are sport killers. And I see that as a, you know, two edges of the sword. Guys now know that when you want to get to the top, your record's everything. So you have to have a good record. So you're going to play safe to get the win. You're going to fight just the right opponent. You're not going to fight that guy's too tough. And all these things come in because you want a perfect record. It's when you're going to get called up to the UFC, and the UFC is the show. No matter what else is out there, that's the place you want to be. So, of course, you want to get there. Then once you get there, if you lose, 1-2, you're gone. So you're hungry, you want to fight your way to the top, but once you kind of make your ground and you're in there, all of a sudden if you lose, even if you fought for the title, you're going to get cut. So, you know, UFC is teaching you to fight safe, have a fight safe strategy so you stay in the UFC, but then they want guys to bang and be aggressive and leave themselves vulnerable by attacking that way, where you could potentially lose. And then coaches, on the other hand, are going, well, look, we don't want you to lose, so we want you to work your jab, and we want you to do this, and when you're here, we want you to stall this position, and we want you to do this safeguard pass instead of this dynamic one, you know. And so it's reciprocating each other how they're both killing the sport. And if you're going to cut guys because they lose, well, then you're going to have guys fight safe. If you're going to keep guys around and build guys and win or lose, they're dead a chance, you know, great. But then again, you got so many fighters. How many shows a week can they put on to keep satisfied all the fighters that there are? So I don't know if there's a correct answer, but I see that's kind of how it's going. And, you know, it's like Jordan always says, he goes, Dad, I know I'll be the UFC welterweight champion, but I don't know how long I'll be the UFC welterweight champion because I refuse to fight safe. You know, and that's legit, you know, on what's going to happen. So,
I actually want to ask you about Jordan, because one of the most egregiously wrong decisions I've seen in Strikeforce was his fight with Tyrone Woodley, a guy who figured out a way to get on top and lay on top of Jordan and not do anything.
Right.
What was his mind frame after that fight, and did you have to maybe kind of reset him at all?
No, not at all. He was. We knew that was the potential. You know, we knew that could happen, and we discussed it. And that's why he threw so many elbows from the bottom, because that was part of our game plan. He's probably going to take you down, given. If you don't knock him out, if he doesn't stand anything with you, he will get you down, and what do? We had certain sweeps, certain things we worked on. The first round, he did those sweeps, and then the second, third round, Tyrone just hugged the hips and didn't do anything. So then we're like, okay, beat him up with elbows, because once you start cracking him in the head with elbows over and over, he's probably going to pull away, giving you some room to get back up. He didn't. What's what impressed me, he didn't pull away. He ate elbow after elbow to the head, to the point where Jordan's elbows are so sore he couldn't put him on a table. You know what I mean? And so, good for Tyrone for taking shots like that. I was impressed with that. But again, it's not an entertaining fight. And had he tried, and Jordan, here's Jordan's thing. If he had taken me down and beat the crap out of me and or submitted me, I have no problem with it. But he took me down and hugged my legs and didn't fight. And Jordan wants to fight. Win or lose, he wants to fight. He wants to know you beat him, not you hugged and you, you know, run out time. And that was the frustration part. But he didn't care. Yeah, the fight's over, let's move on. Now I have to work on defending the takedown. I have to do this and this better because, one, I shouldn't have been in that position. So,
do you think that if they were to change some of the scoring systems, that might help bring back the excitement in the fight and make guys not just lay on top to where you can get just as much points from scoring from the bottom versus a takedown?
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. Here in Lethbridge, the Lethbridge Commission, from day one, when we started doing shows, you know, they said, well, what are we going to use for rules? And we right from the start said, well, I want like pride rules where it's, the 5-point criteria. It's not, you total your points for the round and each round's totaled, you know, and added up. It's not 10-9. You know, you could, based on your striking, stand-up grappling, ground striking, ground grappling, you know, effective aggressiveness. So it's, you get kicked off on those, you know, so you might win that round 3-1. Well, at the end of the fight, you might be up 9-6 or you know what I mean? So that's a much fairer scoring system, I believe. So the guy in the bottom, you may have taken him down, but the guy beat you up. So you can, you know, that to me is the ideal way to go. And that builds that excitement where, you know, if you know that you're on the bottom and he's hitting you, you're losing. Now all of a sudden you start doing something. It's like being on top of the guard and you're throwing punches so you know you're winning the fight. You're not doing any damage maybe, but you know you're winning in the judge's eyes. So that would change things dramatically, and I would like to see that. But it's so entrenched now, I don't see anything changing that. So.
Now, the fight that rings out in my memory that talks a lot about guys getting takedowns and not doing anything with them is Guida Pettis, where Pettis was so active on his back that I thought you could arguably give him that fight because when Guida would get the takedown, he wasn't able to do anything with it but go on the immediate defense. So while it was an offensive maneuver, it actually put him in a worse position, I thought.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Lee, you know, talking MMA, one thing we should mention is you've got a great fight card coming up, you know, and I mean, it's just around the corner, October 6th, I believe.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the South Pavilion Exhibition Park, correct?
Correct. Yep.
And tickets are $30 and $35?
Yep, $30 in advance, $35 the day of. And, you know, we have VIP, 30 VIP tables around the cage. Those are pretty much sold out. I've only got like 2 left or something like that. So, yeah.
And you have 15 fights on the card still?
Yeah, right now I'm at 15 fights. You know, getting close to the fight, guys get hurt, pull out. You try and swap guys in. So I always try and, you know, book as many as I can. One, I got so many guys from my team that want to fight, new and experienced, that, you know, there's 15 fights and all 15 is, you know, one of my guys, which doesn't always happen, but it's fun when it does. It guarantees I won't have a voice by the end of the night, but it's great for the fans and, you know, it's just good experience for everybody. So it's great entertainment. You know, you're coming in, I always start the show on time, and everyone knows that. The fans even know that now. If you miss, if you're a minute late at 7:30, you miss the first round. And if it's an amateur fight, you probably missed the knockout or something because everything, you know, guys are going for it. So
that's one of the things, Lee, that has always stupefied me is, like, I go to a lot of, and it even happens a lot on the local circuit, but I even see it, like, at Zupa events and things like that, where it's, like, people think, like, the first four fights aren't really worth attending, and they get there for, like, the last three. It just stupefies me. Typically, the first couple of fights are going to set the rhythm for the night, and if you get there and it's on a decision rhythm, you might have missed out the best action early on in the card.
No, absolutely. And that's, I've, you know, it doesn't matter what show I go to. If it's MFC or wherever I go, it doesn't matter where I go in the country, in the States, I'm always there for the prelims because those to me are the most entertaining fights. They're the hungriest guys. They're putting it out there. And maybe they don't have the most skill. That makes it more exciting. They're not stalling each other out. It's not, you know, that game of chess where counter for counter, nothing really happens. I know how hard those guys, advanced guys, are working and how technical it is, but it's not as entertaining, you know. So the new guys are entertaining. You can see the hunger, the nerves. You see all that rawness of it, which makes it exciting. And I'm excited for those guys that they get to get in there and do that. And, you know, the fans know, yeah, that's great. You know, the VIPs that spend all this money on these big, important seats and they show up for the main event. Well, they're not really fans of the sport. You know, they're just showing how much, you know, hey, look, I have money, I can buy a table. Good for you, you know.
Which is good. That's good for you, too, though, Lee, because
you're
the guy that can just buy the table.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, those, I agree with you, Lee, because Labaki can attest to this. You know, we went to a local event here in where I live in Central Oregon, and on Budo fights, I think it's the fight two and fight five on the undercard were, I mean, so exciting, and the crowd was jumping up. One guy was fighting for a fight. He didn't realize being knockout of the night as an amateur on the undercard, he was going to win 100 pounds of free meat. But,
yeah.
I mean, he was, the crowd was just pumped up when they watched these two guys just bang it out until one guy got knocked out. And that's what we always push about supporting local MMA. You got to get out and support the whole card, all the fighters, the sponsors, the promoters. That's what it's about getting out there and supporting the community that's on these events.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
the only people that appreciate the guys that don't show up is the cleaning crew because their job's a little bit easier.
I've had guys come to our shows, and they buy a VIP table, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 for first row. They get to advertise their company on the big screen. They got some drink tickets. They got eight seats right next to the cage, and they're like, "We just spent $5,000 with, you know, higher up seats in the bleachers at a UFC show in Vegas." Yeah, it was fun, but you know what? We had more entertainment, better fights, and we had more fun, and it saved us a ton of money. You know,
and
so, yeah, support. Yeah, support your local
card. You know, because look, and this is something we say all the time on the show, $35, that is, everybody out there, that is less than the cost of one Zupa pay-per-view. So skip one. There's 36 a year. Skip one. Go out to Rumble in the Cage and buy a ticket. $35. That leaves you $10 extra to buy a T-shirt or beer or, you know, something else. Buy a friend's ticket. Give them half the money for it. But you're going to get 15 fights here at least show. They're going to be exciting. You're going to get to have a chance to probably meet a couple of the guys after the fight because they usually hang out, whereas at the upper level, they're usually media, you know, pushed to a media room where you don't get to see them as fans. So go out and see the kids like Ian Odland. Or go out and see Tyler Larkin because, you know, those could be the next generation of Zupa fighters, and you want to say, I was there when he fought, you know, Adam Barbaru, you know. I saw that war.
Well, and I get that all the time. I get guys going, what's Jay Day doing, you know, since he fought in UFC? What's Jesse Bongfeld doing? And I remember when he fought his first fight here, and I was there. They're excited about that, and so am I. I'm excited that I provided opportunity for guys like Nick Ring to get MMA fights before they made it to the UFC, and I was able to be a part of that. And, you know, Jordan, where he's at now, and that majority of his fights were at Rumble in the Cage, you know, and he got his ass beat a few times at home, and I heard from my ex-wife about, you know, what a terrible father I was, you know. But he learned from that, right? He got experience, so.
No,
You know, like, I thought I was done with this when we signed the divorce papers.
No. Hold on, Skippy.
Just simmer down, buddy. You do a lot of talking, man. Me and Lee are going to chat here for a second. Hey, how exciting, as a guy from the B.C. area, how exciting are you to see the level of talent that is funneling out of that portion of Canada? I mean, you've got guys like Ryan Chifey and Marcus Aurelio and I can't even, like Oliver Vajda,
yeah,
who watched over the weekend. A lot of really quality, talented guys that just like to scrap. How do you feel about that, being as a guy that, you know, kind of opened that door for all of them?
Oh, it's great because, you know, the whole thing is about guys getting experience. And if I always say this, doesn't matter where you live, if you have a desire to learn, you can make it happen. You know, I we're in a 70,000-person town, you know, small city, and we got the longest-running show. We got one of the biggest shows. We always get 1,500, 1,800 people at a show, which is more than I've been, you know, it's bigger than MFC has, their crowds. It's bigger than a lot of TKO shows I've been to when they were running. You know, like it's a good, solid show. Guys get experience. It's a chance for guys to, you know, they see that. There's opportunity. If you want to fight, if you have a dream to be in the UFC, because that's the number one organization, well, then what are you going to do? Well, I got to train. Why? There's no one to train me. Well, then spend the money and go somewhere and learn something, you know, and get it and figure it out. Make it happen for yourself. Oh, I want to fight. Well, then what do you need to do? Well, I need to get a hold of a promoter and get a fight. Well, do it. You know, don't just talk about it. Just make it happen. And so being a part of that and having a long-standing show that's been going for a long, you know, I got a lot of guys over the years that wanted to try it, fought, and never did it again, but were so glad they did. It was off their bucket list. You know, I did that. I didn't just talk about, I actually tried, I did. I won, I lost, whatever, but I did it. And other guys say, no, I want to be in the UFC. I want to take this to the highest level, knowing that we can help them get to that path, whether it's through training or just getting a chance to fight. You know, I'm okay with being a feeder show. Some guys don't like that. Oh, no, we're number one. Hey, I don't care. I want guys to get experience. That's why I started doing shows in the first place. I was like, I had to pay an entry fee to fight, pay for my own gas, my own hotel to go have my first fight. You know, I paid $50 to fight. Well, now I'm like, that's ridiculous. I could do a show, get 1,000 people out, pay for the guy's gas money and his hotel to come here and fight. Everyone gets a good time. My guy gets a fight to fight at home. We don't have to travel. And that's how it kind of started. I just saw the necessity for it as a fighter. And if I can be a part of that and helping guys, you know, meet their goals and, you know, accomplish things in life, so be it. It's great.
Well, yeah, I agree. Our boss up in Canada has said from day one, especially since I joined the company last year, that you have consistently put the best fighters out there. Your fighters are fighters, man. When you put them on that card, you're coming to see a show. Your gem, you produce fighters. You know, this is, you know, what all these kids coming up want. So there's the opportunity. And like you said, you've got to be able to go somewhere to get this experience. And why not go to the best organization that's been running the longest, because you put on the toughest fights. So not only fans, but fighters want to come there. I mean, it's the great way. You're not trying to compete with Zuffa. And that's what I love. You're not running around trying to compete with the other companies in America or in, you know, Canada. You're putting on your best product, which has been successful, and you're just going to keep doing it. That's what's great. You don't really worry about what those other guys are doing.
No, you know what, and I want to support them. You know, people say, well, why'd you fight on MFC? Because he needed a fight. I'm about the fight game and the fighters and the other fighter that didn't get a fight, and I don't care. If I have a chance for Brant Dewsbury to fight on my show, I'm going to use it because he's going to sell tickets and he gets fight experience. But if someone out east calls the Score Fighting Series and says, oh, we need him a week after, can we have him? And they're going to pay him more money, he's getting more exposure. Well, by means, as his coach and his manager, I'm taking him over there. You know, I don't care. I'll get another guy on my show, you know, to fight. It doesn't matter to me. What's the best for the fighter? That's what I always look at. And if guys call me and say, hey, Lee, I know I said I want to fight on your show, but I got a chance to fight on this guy's show here, and he's going to pay me. Yeah, man, go for it. I don't care, man. Just fight. Just as long as you're fighting and you're having fun, I will survive. I've had last-minute cancellations on every show. I make it work. You know, I got 17 fights. I'm down to 15 fights. Okay, I'm back up to 18 fights. I'm down... It's, you know what, fans are going to get their money's worth no matter what, and I don't stress about that stuff. I think what's best for the fighter. I don't care what team you're from, what show you want to fight on. You know, another promoter needs another show, needs a fighter, call me. You know, I got guys saying, hey, Lee, you got 15 fights on your show. Any guys you couldn't get fights for, can you send me their names? Because I'm hurting for fights. Absolutely. Here's some names. You know?
Well, one of the cool things that me and Skippy have set up on Facebook is we've created a group where promoters and fighters are the only ones in there, and they can swap information in order to help fill these cards when these kind of things are happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
when you guys start swapping wives on there, you let me know and I'll jump in there.
That's another group we'll have to invite you into. For
everybody
out there.
A secret group, Lee, but now we know you want in. We'll definitely send you an invitation.
My wife doesn't, but I do. That's all right.
Everybody out there, Average Joe's presents Rumble in the Cage 46 at the South Pavilion Exhibition Park up in Alberta, Canada, Saturday, October 6th. Doors open at 6:30. Fights literally start at – doors open at 6. Fights start at 7:30, not 7:31, not 7:35. You got to get there. Get your seats. Tickets are only $30 and $35, guys. You can go and get tickets at Canadian Mixed Martial Arts Center, Average Joe's Sports Bar, online at rumbleinthecage.com. And is there anywhere else they can get tickets?
Max Stores in Lethbridge. You can get them at Max Stores in Lethbridge. Again, you can get them online. You can actually watch the show if you can't make it here because you live in BC or wherever. Rumbleinthecage.com. Go find it. You can watch live streaming right off. I think it's $9. You can pay per view it for $9 or whatever it is. So, no excuses for not seeing it. It's great time.
And Lee, before we wrap up, shout outs to anybody and for everybody out there at the Fighting Memes on Twitter. But go ahead and run down any sponsors, shout outs, anything you want to say. Go for it.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone that's in the MMA industry for making this work, and my fighters for training hard, and their competitors for accepting the fights and training hard and willing to put things on the line for everybody. That's the biggest thing for me. It's just the community and in the industry, just making it work and helping each other get to the top level. Because at the end of the day, when we're all, like me, old and broken and not going to fight anymore, it's about the memories of who you met and, who you helped and who helped you. And, that's what's fun about it.
Well, Lee, I really appreciate you taking the time. For everybody out there, if you can't make it, you guys know somebody we love and supports us very, very much is Go Fight Live TV. Go out there, man. Once again, $44.95 or 15 great action-packed fights for $9. Come on, man. Do the math. That still leaves you enough to buy beer, get your girlfriend some flowers because you know your buddies are coming over.
Good times.
Hey, Lee, thank you so, so much.
No problem. Appreciate it.
Thank
you,
Jordan,
leader.
Man, we all wish him the best, and we hope to see him wearing that strap real soon.
Sounds good.
Okay, guys, we're going to pick some commercials, some bills with a commercial break. For everybody out there, we're about to start running commercials regularly on all four of our shows. So if you guys want to get a 30-second commercial spot in, they're filling up. You get a hold of Carl, get a hold of Lepaki, and get a hold of myself. We can get you guys to the right person to talk to. You guys want to hop on this train, man. With where we're all embedded, as many sites as you can find us, as many places as you can download us, and as big as our show is getting worldwide, you want to jump on now while it's still somewhat affordable before we become super rich.
People, make it happen, people. Make it happen. I'm tired of waiting.
Right? Carl, go for it, brother.
All right. Get your Clinch custom Mozart at getclinch.com. Check out Brass Bound World, Brawlbait, Razorware, Intimidation Clothing, Bank Crimes, Global MMA Consulting, No Pain, Just Free, Central Oregon Strike, Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Smoke Power, 24 and LV,
okay.
Trigo Sports, Prime Fitness, and Big T's Nightclub. All right, gentlemen, see you on the other side. Brian Hallquist will be joining us. We'll be right back. TankCrimes.com and just check out what they've got. Hippie,
and shoot that crow. Shoot that damn crow.
No, he's my friend.
He's flying around me. He smells that death on Skip.
Okay, boys, I'm going to try
to... Hey, Skippy. Dude, I heard Harold Howard's going to be fighting this weekend.
Do what? I didn't hear you, man. I was putting something away. What?
I heard Harold Howard's fighting this weekend.
Yeah, you go for that, Scooter. I ain't falling for that shit twice. Speaking of fighters kicking ass, Terrence Howard, Team Quest, big
Terrence
shout
Williams,
out. Guys,
Terrence
all know.
Williams. Terrence Williams. Terrence Howard is an actor.
Yeah. Terrence Williams. That's right. 3 months ago, I believe, if not less time than that, he came on our show as an amateur, said that he'd be making his pro debut before the first of the year. Not only did he make it up in Washington last month, he made it in a dominating fashion and went straight over to Russia this past Monday night, Monday morning for us, Monday night for them, and just demolished that hometown boy like nothing in one round, dude, just killed him. So, big shout-out to Terrence Williams for rocking it over in Russia.
You went over there and got his Apollo Creed on, huh?
Dude, like, for real, all those kids out there who, you know, they're like, man, when I turn pro, I'm going to be the biggest thing. Well, sometimes you got to look outside your area, and this kid did. I mean, don't get me wrong, not everybody has the help and opportunity he has, because some kids just aren't in those gyms, and some kids, you know, don't have the facilitations that he has to get those fights, but you can get out there and find them. I mean, it doesn't have to be in your town. It could be in the next state. It could be counties over, but I'll tell you what, everybody out there, we want to talk MMA, anything MMA. You want to call up and tell us that you're the baddest dude in, you know, Bloomfield, Indiana, do it. You want to call us from, you know, Portland, Oregon and tell us you have the most dominating gym on the West Coast, do it. You want to call and tell us who's the best fighter in Kentucky, do it. Lines are open for fans, fighters, promoters, gyms. We're going to talk MMA for the next hour with anybody who wants to call. The number is going to be 310-742-1799.
And if you just want to call in and tell me and Skippy that we're doing a great job, you can do that too. We don't mind.
That's right. Hey, Ryan, you there, brother?
I am, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing
great,
Mr. Hawkwood.
Living the day,
I'm just
man.
Excited.
Living the day. How are you?
I'm excited for our show September 29th, a week from Saturday. And, you know, I kind of told you guys last time I was on that we were working on a big project, a big surprise. and the surprise has come through, gentlemen. It's going down. We got the we got the Rood TV contract. We're doing our pilot, and it's going to be on 5 states, Oregon, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska. Cage Sport will be broadcast regionally on the Seattle Mariner Baseball Network.
Well, that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. How good did you feel after finally getting that accomplished? I know that was something you're really looking forward to doing, have had in the works for a while.
Well, you know, it's been 2 years, and originally we were going to do our Battle of the Boat on it. Greg Haugen, the 4-time world champ, had come to us and said, hey, I've got a deal. These guys kind of want to get some of your stuff on. So we started working on it at that time, and it kind of fell through, but we never stopped working on it because, you know, obviously we wanted to be on TV. And so we just slowly kind of have been working on it. We had real in-depth meetings over the summer, and in August we finalized our paperwork, and here we are. We've got Cage Sport on Root TV, the 5-state area. It was the old Fox Sports Northwest. DirecTV owns Root now. They are starting to buy out a lot of the regional sports networks. So we've got what we're calling our pilot show. We're going to do one show. We're going to see how the ratings are, and hopefully it will turn into all of our shows in 2013 will be on the air. In the meantime, you know, my history prior to promotion is in television producing. I kind of opened up some other doors, and we now are working. I can let you guys know we're working on a 32-fight season to bring back, remember you got the Friday night fights in boxing? We're going to try to do the same thing in MMA, the Saturday night fights. Every Saturday night from somewhere around the country on a cable network, you're going to be able to watch a live MMA, and we're about 50% of the way there.
We're very, very excited.
And I don't know if you guys heard, but, you know, when we were doing this, we thought, you know, we could just put together any broadcast team, you know, go out and hire some guys. But we decided if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. So we went out and hired who I personally feel is the best, if not one of the best, MMA play-by-play guys in the business, and that'd be Jeff Osborne. Jeff did UFC fight 33-37, then we wanted to bring in somebody with a good Q rating. Somebody who's well known, who knows the sport a little bit. So we hired Danny Bonaducci. Yes, the Danny Partridge from the old days. Danny's got a black belt. He also had a studio. He also did some celebrity boxing. He was 13-0-1 as a celebrity boxer. He retired after he had a draw with Jose Canseco, who was 1 foot taller and 100 pounds heavier. So Danny has a morning show in Seattle, a DJ. It's the number one show in Seattle at KZOK. And then we thought, you know, we really should have an athletic analyst on here, somebody who really knows the sport, who's active. And then we were thinking, you know, who do we bring in? And we thought, why not bring in the prettiest, best-looking MMA fighter in the world? And it happens to be Misha Tate. So that is our broadcast team. Jeff Osborne, Danny Bonaducci, and Misha Tate.
Ryan, I was really hurt that my phone never rang, man. I didn't even get a tryout.
You're gonna have to fight for me. Fight it. Misha said that you can have it, but you got to fight her for it.
I let her win. We'll put on a show, brother. It'll be good for ratings.
Dude, I like it. As a matter of fact, we'll do that at the intermission. You fight Misha, and if you win, you are our athletic analyst on our December 1st show.
Breaking news, people. Lopaki Plaza versus Misha Tate at Cage 421 for the commentator seat. I like it.
Brian, you've got a match on this card coming up on the 29th. That I'm just, as somebody who's seen Brandon fight quite a few times, I'm super excited that Brandon Pitt's coming down
to fight for your organization, and he has got a tough fight in front of him. How did that fight come together? Because that has, to me, fight of the night all over it.
Are you talking about the Brent Knopp fight?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we originally had Brent and Jared Torgerson, and, you know, for TV, you know, they really wanted something special. So, you know, Brent, Matt Hume was like, you know what, we'll fight anybody. We're good with it. And so Brandon's name came up. You know, he's from a good gym, and it looked like it would truly be a 50-50 fight. It's one of those fights, like, remember when we talked about the girls on our last show, who's going to win that? Half the people thought Little P, and half
yep.
the people thought the other gal. Well, this has that same, that it has the same 50-50 to it. So we went out and fought, you know, Brent said, hey, I'll fight anybody. We went out and we got Brandon. And so here we got a 50-50 fight, a guy 2-0, a guy 2-1, and that we're going to have three feature bouts that night because we're going to have some, you know, because of the TV. So that's going to be the last fight of the night, and I think it's a barn burner. It's just one of those great, great fights. You know, Brent comes out on top of that fight. All of a sudden, Brent Knopp's 3-0. But, you know, he's fighting Brandon, and Brandon's in a real good gym, obviously, and with
and
some very good
training.
He's
finally at a weight class he should be at, I believe. I've seen him fight at 205, and I believe that he's going to be a much more dominating opponent at a lower weight.
Oh, I agree. I agree, and I think that he's at the right weight class. And, you know, I think that you're right. That's one of those fights that has fight of the night written all over it. But, you know, we also have Emmanuel Sanchez and Brandon Dudley. I mean, here's two guys undefeated, 3-0 and 2-0. And, you know, there's another fight that you know, is a toss-up. But I'll tell you something we had to do for this fight that was a little different. Excuse me. You know, we want to carry some Nielsen ratings. So what we had to do was we not only had to go out and find good fights, but we had to find geographically fighters from larger markets so that we could carry some ratings in Seattle, in Portland, in Spokane, in the larger markets. And it just worked out perfectly that, you know, we got Brent from Seattle. And, you know, out of the Portland, greater Portland market, we have Brandon. So, you know, that really covered, for television purposes and for ratings purposes, it covered geographic region for us. So, you know, that was very, very important to us, as is, you know, the Sanchez-Dudley fight. We've got Dudley, who's he's out of North Bend, but basically a Seattle fighter fighting a kid out of Oregon. Again, so we got Seattle-Portland, a couple of those fights. But what it does is, number one, they're great quality fights, but they also geographically help us. You know, I know earlier in the night you guys were talking about Julian fighting. And I would, you know, if this was just a club show, that probably would have been our main event. But, you know, those kids are from Midwest Washington. And, the city's populations, you know, combined are like 60,000 people. So, you know, for this first fight, we needed major market fighters so that we could, you know, publicize in the major market, hey, we've got a hell of a fight card here. And, you know, because, for instance, the Yakima paper is not going to cover, Brent Knopp out of Seattle. That's not, you know, he has no relation to that. So there was a lot of strategic planning when it came to matchmaking this card so that we could market and also do the proper public relations to get ratings. That's even why we hired the broadcast team we did. You know, Misha Tate, who's got 77,000 Twitter followers, Danny Bonaducci, who's got a morning show that's number one in the Seattle market, having, you know, the voice, one of the best voices of MMA. Everything we did was strategic so that we can get ratings, because the more ratings we get on this show, the better the chance that we're going to be picked up for a series in 2013.
Well, you know, and you first of all, I got to thank you for coming on and definitely addressing that issue, because a lot, you know as well as I do, a lot of fans have been wondering why that wasn't the predominant fight on this card. So
that answers a lot of questions for myself as to why. And I got to ask you, so how long ago when you guys started working this card did all this play into effect? I mean, are we talking 6 months ago or are we talking 6 weeks ago?
We've been working on this very seriously since June. And, you know, when Morrison and Julian had kind of stood up at a fight and said, hey, we're going to fight, we had already talked to the matchmaker. We had talked to everybody. We're on hold right now, guys. We can't, you know, we love when guys call each other out. But we were on hold saying we cannot announce, we can't be doing any press stuff, calling people out, because if we have the Root deal, then we've got to go after some major market fighters for ratings. So literally we started this in June. I had told Rich, you know, Rich was ready to, you know, get the card going, you know, right away. And I was the one kind of holding off, Dave. We were close to the TV deal, so we can't do anything until we get the TV deal. So in the meantime, what happened is I think that Lee had called Julian out at some fight, you know, right when we're in the middle of the TV negotiations. And obviously, you know, when you're negotiating a TV deal, you know, you're doing it behind closed doors. You're not letting the public know, you know. When I was on your guys' show last time, I was telling you, hey, we got something big. We're really working on some stuff. But, you know, you can't go out and tell everybody because, you know, you're behind closed doors trying to work your deal. So, you know, when people were calling people out, you know, we had kind of told our matchmaker, hold off on that stuff because we're working on something really big here, guys. And, you know, so this fight, what we're doing is we're introducing an incredible broadcast team. We've got some guys from some major markets, and once we get the pilot done, then we can go back to more of our cage sport philosophy, which is bringing out kids in the Northwest to fight each other, whether they're from a small or big city, it won't matter. The first fight, we needed the ratings. The second fight, we'll go back to the best fighting the best. And so, you know, we'd like to put together the Morrison-Julian fight. You know, if we can, for sure. And we'll have to see. You know, Julian's probably close to moving on to another organization anyway at being 8-0. So, you know, by the time that we go to Matchmake December, he may not even be around and available at that time. He fought all of his shows, all of his fights on our shows. So,
let me ask you, as somebody who, you know, is working both sides of the fence, because you have to, as a, you know, somebody producing a brand new product that you're trying to, you know, not only show regionally, but hopefully to get farther than that, and somebody who has to deal with the fighters and their gyms and their coaches and even the rumor mills, because I know you're somebody who uses social media very savvily. You're very smart about the way you use it. How difficult is that when you see a situation like this with Julian and Lee arise? When you were like, oh, God, why now? Couldn't this have been 6 months from now? I mean, how hard is it, you know, for you to have to sometimes take one hat off?
Well, you know, we always are looking at to see what the public wants. You also have to look at who are the people that are, you know, and we have somebody that dedicates themselves, Anthony, at our company, who dedicates himself to social media. You have to look at, you know, in the big picture, and if you look at social media, you know, you can track who's commenting, where they're from, you know, and so we can kind of track who it is. You know, if you got a bunch of guys from a couple gyms and a lot of those people in those gyms want to see a fight, that's one thing. But the one thing you have to remember is we're a Seattle-based promotional company. We try to use the guys in the four state area, but we also have to be very careful of putting guys on from the west side of the mountains. And we haven't been that careful in the past, but, you know, we're not going to get a kid from Spokane that brings 600 fans over here to fight in Tacoma. You know, it's funny because most fighters think the two numbers I always hear is, oh, I bring 600 people, or no, 200 people, or I bring 400 people. Well, we put tickets in people's hands and said, boy, we hope you can you know, bring 200 or 400 people. But the most tickets an individual fighter has ever sold on our show is 88. So, you know, you hear a lot of that social networking, and you hear, you know, the fan base and stuff like that. But the reality is, you know, if a fighter truly can bring 50 solid fans, we're very, very happy. Because that means if we have 20 fighters that bring 50 true fans in, we've got three quarters of our show sold. So, you know, you really have to watch that and who, you know, who are the people who want the fight. And I think if you look at it and really break it down, it's usually people from that city and, more importantly, people that are in those gyms.
Well, I totally, you know, I'm really good, like I said, I'm glad you came on to kind of educate me and some of the fans out there about what all the details in the background are, how it's just not as simple as, hey, I want to fight him, let's do it tomorrow. There's more involved than that, and there's a bigger end game for your company than that. And with, you know, with that, you guys went, and I want to bring up the Orosa fight. You guys went down and got, you know, a lot of people are splitting sides on this, and you know as well as a lot of fans out there, there's even a tattoo on the line over this fight with Jason Kutchek-Ivel. And, you know, I'm curious why you guys picked him, knowing that he's been into that deep war with some major veterans. He's had some seriously good fights. Is there something you saw in him that you think is going to make Julian up his game?
You know, Julian was originally going to fight Shante Johnson, which was a local kid. Again, geographically, it helped. I think that with Julian, I mean, I think it was at the point where you know, he's fought on our shows. He wasn't able to fight the main event. And I think it just worked to put him in and, you know, put him in as tough as we can. So, you know, I know that we got the tattoos going. Who do you guys think is going to win that fight?
I got Jason Kutchek-Ivel all day. Clinch cut the mouth guard's going to look really cool with a madhouse tattoo on him. And the reason I say that, and I'll say this in front of everybody right now, Clinch already knows I've said this to him and he disagrees, but if anybody out there watches that fight with Charles Crazy Horse Bennett last year, which should have been Fight of the Year winner, and it wasn't, that if he shows up at that level, nobody in the Pacific Northwest can beat Jason. I'm sorry. If he shows up with that of chin, that ground game, and that ability to lose 4.5 pints of blood and never slow down, then I'm telling you right now, Julian's in for a long night. I love the kid. He's a great fighter. I think this is a superb, superb test for both individuals. But I got gut check Desert Dogs MMA all day.
Wow. That, you know, I know with some of the pets going around that there's some people who are definitely thinking that. And, you know, I think that I think where Julian's at now, you know, he beat the local kids and he needs to step up his game a little bit. And, for our next fight, you know, we're going to go back to the philosophy of featuring our local cards, our local fighters. However, we are working on one super main event with TV, a match that I'm putting together myself and working on with a very, very, very big name heavyweight. And obviously I can't say it now, but we're in negotiations with him right now for TV purposes. And, you know, Julian's probably at the point now where, you know, he's basically beat, you know, all the local kids. And so maybe it's time to, you know, fly somebody in from Vegas or Southern California or somewhere and really, really give the kid a test and let the UFC see, you know, or if there's a UFC kid out there that you know, maybe by beating him that will get him in the UFC or Strikeforce. So he's at that point, you know, he's beat all the local kids. He started out, you know, by fighting and maybe, you know, maybe that's where we go with him. You know, I'm not sure. You know, the Morrison fight would be good. But who do you guys think wins the Julian Morrison?
I think Lee wins that fight.
Let's see. You know, to be honest, I think it would not be a quick fight. I would be willing to say that being a title fight, that we're going to look to see possibly a fifth round finish or even a decision. Saying if it goes to decision, I would have to lean towards Lee because how much work he does and how, you know, just I could see him stealing a card like that, you know, getting in there and outworking him just enough. But at the same time, I could see somebody getting tapped. And, you know, I could see Julian easily tapping him later in the rounds when he's tired. So to me, it's a tough call. But if I've got to pick, I'm going to have to say, you know, Lee, honestly. You know, it sounds bad. I sound like an asshole. I just picked against your guy twice, your title holder, you know. But, you know, I'm a fan. I look at, you know, more than just gyms and names and organizations. I look at the whole aspect of it. They both are coming from top-notch gyms. They're both going to be paired for a war. I think it's going to come down to, in the later rounds, the first person when they can make a mistake is going to lose. Whether it's lose on the cards due to that mistake or lose to a tap out or a knockout to do that mistake, that's how I see it ending, is somebody making a mistake and costing themselves that fight.
Well, it sounds like you guys are not as much of a Julian fan as you are his opponent's fan. That's kind of interesting.
Here's my thing with Julian. I thought Julian fight Moby Hill, and I kind of thought he was really lackadaisical in the cage in that fight.
Yep, me too.
That's my point on Lee working the cards and winning by being more active. You know, that's why I say Lee gets tired in round five, you know, and Julian's able to slip a submission on, he might, you know, be able to finish it right there. But if he can't finish him by round five, knowing how active Lee is, Lee's going to win it on the cards. And it's no disrespect to Julian. I believe Julian's going to be in the upper echelon, and I believe he's got a great career ahead of him, and these guys will probably meet again down the road someday, and people will talk about the first time they met for a title years back at Cage Sport, you know, that kind of thing behind them, you know.
No, I'm going to be talking in just a minute.
Well, actually, you're on, Jeff. Welcome live, everybody. Jeff from Clinch Cut the Mouth Guards is in here.
How are you doing?
We were just talking a little bit about your bet and some of the fights on the card and some fights that could possibly happen down the road. Jump on in. I think you know everybody in the group.
Yes, I do. Wow, it's just great to hear all this. I'm just wondering, where are you going to put the tattoo?
Dude, if I end up getting a clinch tattoo, I'm either probably gonna rock it across my belly and do a big like 16-inch tall lettering and do a big rocker, or I'm gonna do clinch down the rib cage, probably 18 inches long, 5 inches wide.
I'm saying is forget all the bets and just clinch needs to get a sponsorship and get that bet go. Excuse me, clinch. We need clinch on the mat. Forget the bets. Let's get Brian as a sponsor, damn it.
Brian, maybe what we should do is have Skippy and Jeff both there, and at the conclusion of the fight, we just have them in the cage getting the tattoo. I think that's a ratings booster that you could really use on this first show.
Just took a turn like Jerry Springer if we do that.
Yeah.
You don't want to see me Skippy with no shirts on.
I think it's certainly something that Danny Bonaducci needs to bring up during the broadcast, that's for sure.
Yes, you know, as somebody Madhouse who supports and is very loyal to your organization and in all local MMA for that fact, you know, we're excited that, you know, me and Jeff were able to sit down and we found a really exciting fight with this, you know, Julian Arosa and Jason Gutchek-Gaiva fight that we were like, look, let's amp this fight up for us as friends and as fans of the sport. And let's throw some tattoos on the line and make it serious, you know. So that way we are even more invested in that fight. You know, so we're super excited about that, about your whole card, honestly. You've got, like I said, I'm excited to see Brandon Pitt. Jeff, I don't know if you know who's all on the card. Go ahead, Levonte.
Well, the Matt Kovacs-Richard Foster fight, I think, is one that when people look at the records, they might not know what they're in for. But I have a feeling that fight could steal the show. Brian, I remember when Foster fought Chris Folsom in April, and he battled his way through that heel hook that must have been on for a minute and a half and ended up getting the rear naked choke. I thought that was a great performance out of him, and Kovacs has really been on a tear lately. What are you kind of thinking about that fight, and is that one of the ones that you think may steal the show?
Yeah, you know, as a promoter and having it on TV, when you look at the record, it's like, oh, brother. But on the other hand, Matt's a pretty popular local fighter. You know, he's not known for his ground game that much. And I can see those two guys standing up, going toe-to-toe until somebody goes down. And so as far as entertainment for the crowd, I think it's an incredible fight. I think that they're going to go stand up and go toe-to-toe. And, that's some big boys throwing a lot of weight around. And just with Kovacs being the hometown kid, I think that's one of those fights everybody's going to be on their feet watching.
Yeah, and I think another one that'll be that way is the Dave Corshane-Justin Larson fight. Corshane's really been on a hot streak here lately. I think he's got 3 first-round KOs in a row. Jeff, am I wrong on that?
No, you're right. He's a beast, too. He's a finisher, man. He's messing people up. I don't see this one going any different. Justin's super tough guy. Very talented, but with Dave Corshane, he hits like a truck and like a really fast truck. So it's going to be exciting no matter what. It's not going. They both start fast and go hard. So it'll be. This is the best card I've seen in a long time. This is a great card. I just want to tell you that, Brian. It's very impressive from top to bottom. This is the best card I've seen in a long time. It's very nice to see. Although I would have loved to see Lee and Julian beat each other up. Still, the rest of the card is fantastic.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, again. You know, when they got in the cage and challenged each other, you know, we'd already had our TV in place and we knew we were going to announce it. And it was just one of those cards where we needed to, and if you look at the guys who are featured bouts, and here's the deal about this card. We are not taping this thing so that the main and semi-main are on TV. We're taping every single fight. So, If the first fight of the night turns out to be the best fight of the night, that thing's going to be on TV because whoever represents Cage Sport, it's going to be the best fights of the night. We have a one-hour program, so we know 2 fights will make it on, but if we have some knockouts and some great fights, any of these 20 guys, any of these 10 fights could end up on TV, and that's the great thing about it. Everybody who fights on this show knows that if they have one of the best fights, it's on TV. And that's what we're going to judge our TV on. We want to show our product as being the best all-pro show in the Pacific Northwest. And so it's not like we're just going to take the last 2 fights and that's our TV show. We're taping every single fight as it's on TV. And the guys who be on, the fights that end up being on TV are going to be the best fights of the night. And that will represent Cage Sport. But again, we did have to go to some geographical matchmaking for ratings purposes because Seattle's the 11th largest media market in the country. And if we had a guy from Kettle Falls, Washington, fighting a guy from Sandy Point, Montana, it would be much more difficult to get ratings in the 5-state area. So we had to match make this card a little differently than we normally would just because of the TV. And especially being the pilot show, the first TV show, we had to get guys from the major markets fighting each other. It's how it had to be for ratings purposes because the higher the ratings we get on this show, the better the chance that every one of our shows will be on TV next year.
Well, and Brian, Lee wanted to talk to you about this, and I'm thinking you might have just answered all the questions. But Lee, if you're with us, are you with us, Lee?
Yeah, I'm here for sure.
Okay, I don't know if that answered your question that you were curious about earlier, but if not, feel free.
Yeah, for sure, Mr. Hallquist. With all due respect, man, that was awesome. I'm so glad you got everything going on that you do. That's huge opportunity for Cage Sport as a whole. So much props on that note. As far as the Julian and myself fighting, I totally understand why you don't want to have that on your opening, TV, debut, just because of the rating issue. I totally understand that. So I guess what I'm looking at overall is what's the possibility of me actually, getting that shot? Because I've heard, I've heard that I'm going to get the opportunity. I heard I haven't. You say that he's going to a bigger organization. There's more people out there. And then, like I said, with all due respect, I don't think there's anybody around that is going to give him more of a title, fight than I will, as far as the overall, throwdown where the fans are going to like it. And I see what you're saying with the demographics. That's definitely true. But the other side of it, too, is what it comes down to is, comes down to the overall fans and what they want to see. I mean, even if, say I am from a small town, say I only bring, half a dozen people, what about, the other, 50, 60, 70, 100 people around the state that want to see this happen, that know me through the grapevine? I got a dozen, messages in my inbox right now asking me, when are you and Rosa going to fight? I want to go. Cage floor, anything happen? I got to tell them I don't know. Anderson Silva, I'm not saying I'm on any level even remotely close to him, but he's in from Brazil. He's not bringing fans to Vegas. They show up because of his name. They know who he is. They like how he performs. If, you build it and you bring the guys, they're going to come, and I guarantee it, even if they're not from my city and my town, I'm bringing dozens and dozens and dozens of guys, and I know you've heard that before. My reasoning isn't going to be any different. I don't have any other way to back it up other than, I know this is going to be an eventful fight. So I just, I'm trying to hear from you because, Rich is the one that sort of say makes it happen. But in the end, man, I know your word carries farther than his. So I'm just trying to see if this is something we could possibly look forward to at December 1st, if we lock it in, solidify it, or if it's something you're going to have to go back and, talk to him about again. So I'm just trying to figure it out, get it planned. I got a lot of stuff coming up, so I'm just really excited for it and want to see if we can, lock it in sooner than later. So that's just where I'm coming from.
Well, first of all, Julian has to win this fight that he's fighting coming up. But, the first show was specifically made. Number one is that we had a world-class broadcast team. And then second was the geographic location. The fan base, when Brent Knott fights here, we know he brings 300 fans in, he's undefeated. So we had to look at all of that stuff for the first show. And now once we have Cage Sport out there, people see our quality of show, then we won't be so concerned about the geographic region. Then we're going to be concerned, our main concern will be bringing the best fights forward. So for us to be able to market this fight to the five-state area and get the Nielsen ratings we needed, we had to get guys from certain cities that, Seattle, 1 million, Portland, 750,000, because we can get into their markets and advertise and do public relations. So that will carry more weight as far as people watching the broadcast. That's the whole plan for the first Cage Sport fight on TV. After that, what we're going to do is people will know the Cage Sport. Hopefully we'll have a lot of viewers. We'll have hundreds of thousands of people watching it. They'll know the brand name better. And then when they tune in, now they're going to expect good fights because we have good fights. And then we don't have to be as concerned about the geographic region. Then what we want to do is bring on fights, the 50-50 fights, the best fights that we can. And that's when you and a Julian can come on and fight for a title, because the geographic region won't matter as much on the second show as it did on the first. And so, that's a fight. I think I had personally answered some messages on Facebook explaining that to somebody in your corner, saying, that's what we're doing on the first fight. And then on the second fight, we're not going to be as concerned. And, if that's the 50-50 fight, if that's the best fight, then we'll bring that on and we'll put it on TV for sure. It was
okay,
just
so
the first fight that we needed to get. What's that?
Is that something that I can look forward to December 1st, or should I just, kick back and see how the ratings go, and then we can, you know, reassess it through Rich. I'm just curious the best way to go about
no,
it.
No,
and
no,
if I,
you guys are on the board already for December 1st. What we do is I have a board. I put on the board, we put up who we want to fight. We're looking for the best 50-50 fight, guys that look good on TV, guys that are going to fight, guys that the public will love watching, and you and Julian are on the board. We go from the board to the contract. So that fight, that title fight is on the board. And when I say it's on the board, it's not signed, but I look at it every single day in my office. When I walk in the office, I see it every day, December 1st, your guys' name is up there. And so, you know, you guys are half the way there right now to getting that title fight on the December 1st show. So it's something that's on the board. We're definitely looking at, and there's a pretty good chance that that fight will happen.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I guess that's definitely, you know, better than nothing. So I really appreciate you coming on and answering my questions, because it's just been kind of up in the air. And, you know, I'm sitting back. I got other, you know, sort of say fight opportunities, man, but this is one that I truly feel like will be, you know, a great one for everyone out there. I know everybody wants to see it. So as far as ratings, you know, on your second show, I don't see, you know, you getting a better fight, at least locally, without bringing guys in. So anyhow, I just want to say thank you for at least answering my questions, and I really appreciate that side of it. And I hope the 29th card goes as planned to the fullest. I'll be there watching, so I'm pretty excited for it.
Well, you know, and I'll tell you this right now, had we not got the TV, you guys would be fighting the main event for the title on this fight. I can tell you that right now. That was the fight we were going to use. And, again, with the TV, we just had to look at that first TV show a little differently because ratings are going to be so important. But after that one fight, once the Cage Sport brand is out there in the five-state area and they see what we're doing with fights and how competitive and how good it is, then the geographic region is not – it's important, but it's not nearly as important as that first show is to us.
Okay. Definitely awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. You're on the board, and I'd love to see that fight happen. I think that's an incredible fight, and we'll try to make that happen in December for you.
Okay, good. Yeah, and I'll definitely show up 5 rounds to the fullest, no letting down, and trust me, I'm not getting submitted in anything, I promise.
All right. Well, we're going to work on getting you on December 1st and fighting for that title.
Sounds good, Brian. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, good luck to you. We'll talk to you on the 29th.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hey, Brian, this is a little pocky. I kind of want to go back to Cage Sport 20 and talk about the Little P and Sally Krumdiak fight. And how excited were you after that? Because I know when we got to talk to you before you were on the last time that you wanted that fight to really rock the building. And I think that fight far and exceeded any expectations that either you or Rich could have had. And I thought it arguably was probably fight of the night. How did you feel after that, and are we looking at more females coming back to Cage Sport in the future?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think I explained to you, I'm very, very pro-women fight. As a matter of fact, Jeff Osborne, who is our play-by-play announcer, he does hook and shoot back in Indiana, and he's done probably, in a time span, he had done half of the all-women fight cards that have been put on in the U.S., and here's an interesting little statistic for you. A gal named Misha Tate pro-debuted on Jeff Osborne's show. And so Misha Tate, who will be on in the broadcast booth with Jeff, actually pro-debuted on Jeff's show. We do always want to try to have a woman's bout on our show. It was very interesting. Little P is so good with marketing and social networking, and she was fighting a local girl. It was so good that you know, Little P is, well, from Oregon, living in Montana. Her fan base in the arena that night wasn't as big as her opponent's, because her opponent's from Everett. But it was interesting that all the media that she did and that her and Jason do on their own sold a ton of tickets to the fight, but it wasn't for her. It was for her opponent, which I found most interesting. But we will always, always, always try to have a woman's fight on. As you know, it can be very difficult to find and match women, but
definitely, we want to have a woman fight on all we can. You know, I'm a big fan and a friend of Misha Tate's, and if we can get a woman's fight on every card, I will do it. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, I was so pleased with that fight, and I thought both Sally and Little P just really, I mean, they laid it all out there. And I remember during the second round of that fight, Brian, when the whole crowd was chanting Sally, Sally. I just couldn't believe it. That was the only fight that really happened that night, and the whole place erupted, tried to get her to, like, I think she was underneath Little P at the time, and the crowd just tried to pump her up. It was awesome. I thought that was a great match, and I'm sure that you guys were so excited for it after it was over.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, again, that was such a good job that Sally did of Little P did of marketing herself. And she was fighting a local girl from Everett. And so you heard all that crowd chanting. And I just found it interesting that it was Little P who brought all those people in for Sally, because she was marketing that, hey, I'm fighting at the Emerald Queen, I'm fighting Sally. And Sally had the bigger fan base. And I don't know if you saw on our Facebook page or anything, but she got booked on Kiss Radio Friday night, or Friday before the show, and they have this segment on there. It's something like Beat Down Benjamin. And she actually, with one of the DJs, said, you couldn't choke me out, you couldn't do that, you're a little girl. She put him in a chokehold, started choking him out. It's on video, you can go to our Facebook, and he started going into seizures right before he passed out. she choked him out on the air. It was classic.
That is awesome.
That kind of publicity, I mean, you can't buy that kind of stuff, as you know. So anyway, it was a fun it was just fun to watch the whole thing and how it unfolded, and we'll definitely try to get more women on. But, you know, we're just so excited right now, the opportunities we have at Cage Sport. You know, we're not trying to be, like I said, we're not trying to be the UFC or Strikeforce, but because of the TV deal we've got, we're meeting some people from some more television are coming in to watch our show, and there's really a possibility that we're going to have a 32-week season on one of the cable channels in the U.S. With three different regional promoters, and it will be just like ESPN Friday Night Fights, but it's going to be, you know, it would be the MMA Saturday Night Fights. And because, you know, what you're basically seeing with the regional promoters like myself and the Jeff Osbournes, what you're seeing is you're seeing tomorrow's stars today. The Julians and the Morrisons, and, you know, four of our champions have already went on to Bellator, Strikeforce, or UFC. I mean, Brian Caraway's fought on our show. Misha's fought on our show. So, you know, we can put on television some incredible fights of kids that you're going to be watching in 6 months or a year fighting on Strikeforce in the UFC. So, you know, this whole television opportunity, I wanted to tell you guys so badly about it the last time I was on, but I just couldn't do it because we were negotiating and we had non-disclosure papers. But, you know, the whole TV thing looks like it could be really taking off, and it's going to help MMA, and certainly in the Pacific Northwest, it's going to give kids an opportunity to be seen in a larger area. And we're working with some other promoters and a television network right now and an executive producer to really try to put this together. So, I mean, I couldn't be more excited. You know, we're on Brook TV. It's where the Mariners played. UW football was on last year, and you know, Cage Sport's going to get featured now in that arena. So, we're just excited. There's so many good quality fighters around here, you guys, and they're going to be able to be featured on TV. And once again, we're not just taking the main or semi-main. We're saying, guys, there's 10 fights on here. Two or three of these best fights are going to be on TV. And so anybody on that show could end up being on TV in a five-state area. So it's a great opportunity for everybody on our show.
Hey, Brian, Skippy here. We're talking about how good social media, you know, Little P was using. And you've got a fighter, Damon Wood, out of Sport Lab. I believe he's making his pro debut at 125 for your organization. knowing that the buzz around that gym right now, is that, to you, is that just a bonus bringing that fighter on, knowing that, you know, Tyson did what he did down in Brazil and kind of messing up everything, and now his name's pretty much everywhere with the whole Bellator lawsuit and all that stuff. Knowing you're bringing a kid up out of his gym that, you know, he trains with, do you think that's a good selling point to help get even more tickets sold because of the name tied to Damon?
Oh, absolutely. And we look at all of that stuff. Not only do we look at the fighters, I mean, we look at their gym, who the coaches are. You know, like if you look at our last Cage Sports show, we had five guys in the ring that were scheduled to fight on an upcoming UFC show. We had Brian, we had Dennis Hallman, I forget who else, but I mean,
Jeff
in the Holman, ring, we,
Matt Hume.
Yeah, Matt was there. I mean, we had five guys scheduled in the next few months that were going to be on a UFC card on our show. You know, Matt Lindland will be up here cornering a guy. You know, I mean, it's really a who's who of Northwest MMA. So, yeah, not only do we look at the fighter, the record, geographically where they're from, but we look at where their gym is and who coaches them, who will be at the event, and, you know, stuff like you're talking about, you know, with the potential lawsuit. I mean, that's all stuff that we can use to get publicity for our show. So definitely we look at all that stuff. And I do think that it helps. Every bit of that helps. And that's what being a promoter is all about, is looking at all of those things and bringing in the right people to be able to develop storylines. Because if you look what we're doing at Cage Sport and how I promote, I really believe in P.T. Barnum. I believe in his philosophy. And, you know, it's like we're bringing the circus to town and even a little bit of the Jim McMahon. It's like WWF, but it's real. And you have these little storylines like this is happening, that's happening. And that's what our publicists and marketing people take to the press and say, you know what, look at this story. Here's a good story for your local newspaper. And so as a promoter, I always look at that kind of stuff because it's one of those things that can get publicity. And as you know, publicity equals ticket sales.
Most definitely.
Now, you know, we got about 4 minutes left. I would like, you want to run down anything on the card that we've missed? Real quick, I'll shout out to everybody. September 29th, 2012, Emerald Queen Casino, the I-5 showroom. Doors open at 6, fights start at 7, and I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to let everybody know, normally we do the weigh-in over at the Hotel Casino in Fife. But when we do, you know, we've had HBO, Showtime, Championship Boxing in here. When we do big TV fights, we do the weigh-ins in the lounge that is adjacent to the showroom. So the weigh-in and press conference will start at 5 o'clock in the lounge at the I-5 Casino. It's adjacent right to the arena. It's open to the public. And so we'll get the paperwork done. We'll have a big press conference. We'll do the weigh-in. We're going to have photo opportunities. And it's open to the public. So we encourage anybody in the public, if you want to come out, come on out. The fighters, as you know, are real, you know, I mean, they're great guys. They, you know, they'll be available for photos. But this is open to the public. So it's something different than we normally would do. And it's in the lounge, so that's going to be very, very cool. You know, Jared Torgerson, who's 10-9, you know, he's going to be somebody to watch. Even though Jared's 10-9, in the last 6 or 8 months, he has totally dedicated himself to MMA. And I've heard through the grapevine that Jared has improved immensely. And he's going to be fighting Byron Sutton out of Everett, who's 6-3. And I hear that could be one heck of a fight. You know, we've got 6 undefeated guys on our card that are putting their, you know, unblemished records on the line. And, you know, you brought up Kovacs, you brought up Foster. That could be one of those. I mean, don't look at those records, 6-10 and 1-0, because the way you know, those guys match up, that could even be the fight of the night. That could, that's a very, very interesting fight. We've also got, like we said, Julian's in for a great fight right now. You know, Jason had been fighting at maybe a weight class he shouldn't have been fighting at, so they say. And so I think Julian's in for a much tougher fight than a lot of people might imagine. So much so that people are betting tattoos, for criminy's sakes, as you know. So, which is,
well,
cool.
Well, no, one person's getting a tattoo, and that's Clinch Cuss, the mouth guard's owner, Jeff.
I like that. And you know what? We got to make sure that at the weigh-in that we announce that, because we got to let everybody know about that. And then I'm going to write up something so that when that fight's going on, that the public knows, because we're going to make sure Danny Bonaducci announces that on TV, that somebody's getting a tattoo that night. And I think maybe we should do it in the ring. I even like that better.
I'm trying to get ideas, Brian. Now, am I still going to get my case side seat at K-Sport 21?
Or did Danny Bonaducci get it now?
Yeah, did I lose my case side seat to Danny Bonaducci?
Well, you know, with TV, it changes everything, unfortunately.
Man.
Normally, you know, we have a lot of seating for the press. On this particular fight, because of television, because of cameras, we have it's more like a HBO or Showtime fight, the availability. And what we have all the media do is fill out the paperwork. We do lose seating with the producers and the air talent up there. But I promise we will get you guys. You guys have always been good to us. We'll take very, very good care of you guys. We'll take the best care that we can of you guys. But, as you know, we have to get the air talent has to, be cape side, because it's awfully hard to put them in the back row and have them call a fight.
Oh, man, they can fly, Brian.
Brian, we really appreciate you taking the time tonight. I know that you were busy, and I'm glad you still made the show. We got less than a minute left, so I really got to thank you. Everybody out there, get out there and support local MMA. Get out to Cage Sports Saturday, September 29th, 2012, Emerald Queen Casino. Wear your best outfit. You might be on TV. You know, scream as loud as you can for your favorite fighter. And everybody watch Jeff walk in with his head in shame at the end of the night, knowing he's going to have to rep us for the rest of his life.
I like it. And, you guys, listen, we have the fan cam, so there's a really good chance you're going to be on TV, because unlike a lot of shows, we have a fan cam, and we're going to be taping the fans, so we make sure we get you all on TV. So if you're in the audience, you're probably going to see yourself.
Brian, thank you so much for everything tonight, and we look forward to your event and having you back on again to tell us the new news.
All right, guys, we'll have new news next time we talk. Thank you so much for the support, K-Sport. We love, love, love MMA Madhouse, and we'll be seeing you guys on the 28th and 29th. Come down to the weigh-in, open to the public, and we'll see you at our first TV show on the 29th, guys.
Have a good night, brother.
See you, brother. All right, take it easy. We'll see you on fight night, guys.
Hey, Jeff, before we run out of time, I got to ask you, tell us your opinion. You're a local boy up there. What fight should we all be looking forward to?
Brent Knopp fight. That'll be a good fight. That could be a really good fight, because I think that the Pitts brings a game that gives Knopp trouble of just standing there and just throwing down. That's when I've seen him have issues in the past of judge fight. At least a half dozen of his fights, and that's been the times he's had issues, when someone just stands there and they just go. The closer they get to, you know, within reach, you know, when they're touching each other, things are a little bit different, but they're just standing and banging. It's going to be a great fight. The Kovacs fight, Kovacs is never boring. That dude, the only reason that he has the record he has is because he picks his own fights, and he'll fight, you know, anybody. Evander Holyfield could say, yeah, let's fight. And he'd say, in the parking lot right now, okay. He doesn't care. He'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere, which is, it's damaged his record. He hasn't picked the best fights. You don't fight all the best wrestlers in the world when you're a banger, but that fight will be really good. He's got a lot more experience. Foster's dangerous, so he's got a killer triangle, and he's super tall. So that could be a great fight. I think people are going to see a different Matt Kovacs, a slimmed down, focused, motivated Matt Kovacs, who I think people could see the debut of a Kovacs submission.
Ooh.
That's my prediction.
Well, you know, Jeff, for everybody out there listening, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the sport. I appreciate our friendship, and I'm really excited, honestly, win, lose, or draw, to see the fight between Julian and Jason. And, you know, if I happen to lose by some weird grace of, you know, some weird thing happening, like Jason slips walking in and breaks his shoulder and still tries to fight, I'm willing to go ahead and still get the tattoo. Don't worry. I will be getting it big as shit if I get it.
Well, yeah, I can tell you, I'm not getting a 16-inch tattoo on my stomach because I don't have the machine to work with like you. So I'm going to have to go a little smaller. No, I have that real estate.
Hey, look,
but
I had 10 inches to work with when I was like 20. When I was 25, I had like 18 inches. And now, I mean, getting towards 40, it's starting to get back out there. So I better get it now because by the time it's done, Clinch will be about 26 inches in letter size.
Well, you're running out of room.
Well,
be a cover up.
I'll be covering up. I'll be covering up somebody else's tattoo. I was gonna say a name, dude, but I don't want to be a dick. I almost said a name, but I just don't want to be a dick because I know they're listening, and we're trying to show him love and be open and accepting to all assholes.
Okay.
What's
then I guess
new
I
in the Clinch custom mouth guard world, Jeff?
What's that?
What's new in the Clinch custom mouth guard world?
What's new? Oh, it's a good time to buy a mouth guard. There's never been a better time.
Do a special out. Do a Madhouse special. You're live right now for everybody listening and listening to the replay. Throw them a special out real quick.
Okay. For the next hour, if you buy a mouth guard and say that Lapakia sent you, then he gets a commission and you get a 2-for-1.
Real!
Go ahead, fucker.
I'm putting that up on Facebook right now.
Bring
now,
it.
Jeff, can you believe that Boner Ducci stole my seat at Cape Sport?
Yeah, I'd just like to point out to you that I will be sitting Cape Side.
Whatever,
so,
bastard.
I'll look back and wave at you. Yeah, I'll let you bring me something to drink if you want.
Oh, can I? Awesome, dude. I'll bring you some nice warm bottled water that they have in the tubs there.
Yeah, that's about all I get, seeing that I'm a judge. But I wouldn't let that make you nervous, Skip. I'm sure there's no problem.
No, not at all, dude. You know why? And I told Lapakia, I told Jeff this. All bullshit aside, no matter how much this guy's getting his ass kicked, he won't change the card. Even if he could, he wouldn't, just because he's got too much integrity for the sport that he loves as much as me and you and Carl. But I'll tell you this much. I know that he'll call me and tell me that my guy lost, even if he didn't, just to make me go get that tattoo.
Well, I'll tell you, you're exactly right, but I like to be above reproach, so I'll be pulling myself from that fight. I won't judge that one for sure. There's times when you just need to, you know, take away all doubt. So just for, not that I don't think you would believe me, but just for the greater good of mankind, I'll be pulling myself off of that fight. And we always have a fourth judge there, so we rotate. So I'll just make sure I'm not on that one. But, yeah, and
you can come sit in the back row with me.
Well, you know how they're kind of weird like that. I'll try. If it's towards the end, I'll be able to do it.
Well, Jeff, we got to wrap up. We got about 10 seconds left before we're done. Jeff, mad love, getclinch.com, everybody. Check out the post on Facebook. Play us out, Carl.
Shout out to our sponsors at getclinch.com, razorwear.com, Intimidation Clothing, Tank Grind, Global MMA Consulting, No Pain, Just Glory, Central Oregon Pipe, Combat Sports Insurance, Vision Smoke Shop, 24NLV, Draco Sports, Triumph Fitness, Tippy's favorite, Big T Nightclub, Brass Pound World, and Brawl Space. Hey, you want to run a 30-second ad on the hottest show in the Pacific Northwest? Contact MMAMadhouse.com. We're out, boys. Great show.
Hasta luego.
Peace. Skip me out.